Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. So, aloha everybody, Paul here at the War Room. And let's get these podcasts back on track. Monday night podcast tonight. And I had a lot of things going on, basically, guys. As some of you will know, I am one of the organisers of the Bolt Action World Team Championships, taking place for the first time next year in Poland, and that has been eating into quite a bit of time. There's a lot of things to think about behind the scenes, so looking at the players pack, what that's going to consist of. We've pretty much got it down now, but that took an awful lot of thought and thinking through each possible scenario and then attempting to put ourselves in the mindsets of each of the countries and thinking about how the competition will run time-wise, organisationally. So there's going to be some things that some folk don't like, there'll be some things that some folk do like, and some things that'll be meh. But the good news is it should make things run pretty smoothly, we're hoping. So that's been taking up a lot of time. We also now need to organise scenery for the tables. We're not wanting to rely on other people, and we are wanting our tables to look as special as we possibly can, and at the same time being very playable. So all very well thinking, oh, we'll have a fantastic Normandy table, but if it's got too many hedges, too many walls, too many obstacles, you can't move around the board so much. So it's trying to make them as playable as possible for bolt action, but looking as good as possible, and then coming up with all those tables, because there's going to be quite a lot of teams at the World Team Championship. We're expecting to have at least 16, maybe more if we can squeeze them in. So 16 teams of four gives us, I can't count that far, 64 players, which means that we're going to need 32 tables. So we need to get those 32 tables done and off to Poland. So, been working and thinking about that, having a few chats with friends, trying to keep the costs down, because this is really a community thing. We're certainly not going to make a profit off this. We're hoping to break even with a little bit extra, and that extra is going to go towards transporting our gear from Poland to wherever the next one is next year. So that'll go towards the transport costs and some costs towards us, our travel and accommodation for sussing out the next venue for the ETC, all the rubbish, for the BAWTC, get my anachronisms correct. So that's been eating into a lot of my time at the moment, and spending quite a lot of discussions with the country reps now on their private web page, sorting out some of their queries, letting them know information, and being in contact with the event organiser. There's going to be two events on at the same time, the Middle Earth World European Championships and the Bolt Action World Team Championships. And we are, as I say, I'm in charge of the Bolt Action, and Dave is in charge of the whole event, as it were. So doing our best to make this the best event ever, and learning from all the mistakes that we will learn. So guys, in a nutshell, that's been what's taking up my time, and trying to get podcasts in between. I'm not really playing so much at the moment, because I've got so much time to do other things, and trying to attend events for my own club, etc. Now at this stage, for those guys that know, I'm a member of the Dwarf Club in Dunfermline. Of course, I would say it's one of the best clubs in the world, Britain, definitely in Scotland, and there'll be lots of you who will disagree with that. Thumbs up, you should be right behind your clubs. But our chairman, Brian Forrester, who's also the Scottish representative for the Bolt Action World Team Championships, his dad passed away recently, and Dougie, as he was known at the club, used to come up on a Friday night with both Brian and Brian's brother-in-law, and we played many an hour, chatted many an hour at the club, and Dougie will be sadly missed. So I just wanted to put a wee remembrance of Dougie on here for that. And yeah, there was a good turnout from the club at his funeral, which I was pleased to see. And thank you to all those guys who passed on messages to Brian. I know they were well appreciated. But onwards and upwards. So what have we seen this week? Well, a little thing that sneaked on the radar. It was put out there by Steve Tibbs from Cambridge Two Farm, the Cambridge club down there. He noticed way before I noticed, so thumbs up to Steve for seeing that first. They have a new book coming out in March, which will be Fortress Budapest. So we've got the next book out is going to be North Africa, and then later on in the year we've got Burma. And then now we know we have Fortress Budapest coming out. It's going to be out in March next year. It's up on Amazon. So assuming everything goes to plan, it'll, as I say, it'll be March. I think it was March 19th. And a new book. So hoping to see lots of new things again in there. It's not one of the theatres which I have a lot of experience of, so I'll be looking forward to seeing something completely new. We will see if we can get a copy from Warlord to review a bit nearer to the time, and of course let all you guys know what's going on there. So that was one of the new things that we saw on the horizon. Also, Rubicon have been putting out their new bits and pieces that are going to be released in sort of early to mid-July, and we're expecting to see those long-awaited metal models coming from them, so metal infantry coming out from Rubicon. So something a wee bit different, getting away from vehicles, etc. And that'll be interesting to see. And what else has struck me? It's really a couple of things that are in the YouTube show which Harrison and I did last night and should be up on YouTube tonight. So there was a thread I saw which I got amused with. I don't think it was a Bolt Action thread as such, but it was one where people were posting what their wives thought of their modelling, their wargaming hobby. So that was quite an amusing thread. So go off to the YouTube show, the War Room, and you can have a look and see. I think we did about 6 or 7 minutes on that and various things. So we won't go over that. What will we talk about? I'll tell you one thing we will talk about, and again, I did this on YouTube, but it's something which has totally amazed me as just how international Bolt Action is. And I obviously realised that it's played in other countries, but I guess in my head, you get into a kind of single thought pattern where the game's played in America, Britain and Australia, because I guess those are the most vocal participants, and of course all being English speaking. So a very British colonial attitude, I guess, which I'm not proud of. But being involved in the World Team Championships has opened my eyes to just how vast the Bolt Action community really is and just how many countries play. Heard from a chap from Venezuela who wants to come to the World Team Championships. He's not quite sure he can muster a team, but he would love to come. I mean, Venezuela, of all places? There's quite a lot of expats throughout the world. There's a few playing in Japan. And again, it's interesting hearing the stories from different countries about how they have slightly different ways of playing the game. One of the most obvious things that struck me is, first of all, how quite a lot of countries other than Australia, America and Great Britain have their own leagues and ranking tournaments. And that came as a little bit of surprise to me, because when I've muted the idea of doing home internationals, etc., and having a ranking system so we could choose players to put for that, it was met with a little bit of resistance, shall we say. But in other countries, some of them anyway, it's like, well, of course we do it that way. How would you do it any other way? I was like, whoa, wow. So we all have kind of different attitudes. I know the Germans seem to be taking challenges, etc., right, left and centre with all their ranked players, which is good to see, because it's good to see there's different aspects. I like that there is a competitive side, and I like that there is a less competitive side, and I like there's a historical fluffy side. And quite often, that's one of the things I love about it, you see all three types of players at the tournaments, and to a greater extent, they all kind of get on fine and manage to play their type of game all in the one tournament. And I'm all for that, and I love that the way there is that community there. I personally, with Bolt Action, I like the one-on-one, pitting my wits against another player. Oh, looks like the dogs have decided to join in, but we shall just carry on. So I like pitting my skills, or lack of them, against another player, and I really enjoy that aspect. And I don't find quite so much fun the times where we're just throwing dice and having a bit of a historical bash, if you like. So the scenarios out of some of the campaign books, I'm not quite so keen on. And whilst I do enjoy that, and I think it's a great way for people to get into the game and just show people how the games work, it's not my particular favourite part of the game. I like the one-on-one, and I'm trying to beat you, and we can have a great deal of fun to and fro and get a bit of banter going. And that's how I get my fun in the game. And, you know, I like that there's something different for everybody. It would be nice if I was actually good as well, but, you know, you can't have everything. And you see this come into the fore with all the different countries. So some countries' tournaments, they run at 1,000 points, and that's their standard. Other countries run at 1,250 points, and that's their standard. And both of those countries seems a bit odd that anybody plays anything else. And there are other countries that play 1,500 points as the standard. And I think 1,500 points, how can you possibly get a game finished in two and a half hours at 1,500 points? But presumably they do, and they're just used to playing it. So it's fun to see how different countries have their own meta, if you like, you know, their own style of doing things. And I'm presuming that throughout the different countries, the fads, etc., which I go on about from time to time in the game, probably come and they wane at different times. So presumably there's a country out there whose players have only just started using flamethrowers to any great extent, and they're going through the same things we went through a couple of years ago, where it was just, flamethrowers are overpowered, we've got to ban flamethrowers. And now, to more a greater extent, flamethrowers are a bit, yeah, they're fine, but we know how to play them, so let's move on to the next thing. And they've kind of, the excitement about them has fallen by the wayside. I know that Flamethrower Army was called out as being cheesy at Cambridge Too Far, probably one or two other tournaments, but I haven't heard of a Flamethrower list actually winning a tournament yet. I'm sure there is one out there, but they don't win every tournament, so they're presumably not actually broken, in spite of what we might think. So yeah, it's amazing how everybody plays things differently. And bringing it back to a smaller, I get around the country a fair bit playing tournaments and games with various bits, and it's, you do see sort of variations in different parts of the country. And there'll be, for the smaller tournaments that are maybe run by clubs and that type of thing, there's always sort of, out of 20 players, there's always 10, 8 or 10 players who have just turned up to roll their dice, and they're really not bothered if they win, and they're quite happy, and I love those guys. They're out there, they're having fun, and we have great fun too. And then there's always, you know, another four or five players who are looking to get a wee bit better. They'll play their historical list, but you can see that the historical list has been chosen to be as efficient as possible, shall we say. And then you always get sort of three, four, five players at sort of local events who are really keen and want to get into it. So it's just a reflection sort of the worldwide scene, how our local scenes can all be slightly different as well. And yes, it's truly opened my eyes to how many different countries play. Almost every country in Europe, by the looks of it, plays ball action. Most of the countries throughout the world play. There's ball action in South Africa, there's a big community in Canada, there's America, of course. There's a small community in Japan that we're aware of, and many other places too. So it's just fantastic to see. And hopefully at the WTC we'll all get together, get up like a house on fire, and find that we all misunderstand the rules exactly the same throughout the world. So that is going to be a lot of fun. So yes, Bolt Action is truly a global game. And I've also been thinking about maybe doing demos at shows that I go to with using single models as a unit. So a dice per figure as opposed to a dice per unit, just so it moves a bit quicker. It would need to probably be simplified rules. I have played using single figures using straightforward Bolt Action rules, and some things didn't work terribly well. I mean, it was obvious they wouldn't. We were just playing to see how it actually worked. And you don't get an awful lot of shots, so just a couple of modifications. I think we could play simplified Bolt Action rules with just the one-man squads. I know that there are rules being worked on at the moment for that small skirmish type of games. Oh, and that was another thing I saw on Facebook. Mr. John Russell of Warlord America was spotted in a picture online playtesting the scenarios, or some of the scenarios, from the Korean book, which will be coming out presumably next year. I know John is working on that book, and it looked as though they were playtesting some of the scenarios for that. So that's looking good. I wonder how they're getting on with that. We might try and get in touch with John and see if we can get a wee update for one of my shows. So that was interesting to see. And there's several people, possibly with a view to that, looking to increase their Chinese range of models. So that would be interesting to see as well. Having looked at the Chinese myself, I am, after having said for about 2 to 3 months now that I'll be getting a Dutch army, I'm just about to order up my Dutch army. It's all going to be metal models, unfortunately, because I'm not a big fan of the metal model, but it's going to be a metal army. Probably going to be quite a big army, probably going to be mainly inexperienced, I'm guessing. So we'll see how we get on with that. I should be ordering that up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I've got a couple of paint jobs to do, and then we'll be moving on to that. And looking forward to seeing Jamie's Polish Warsaw Uprising Kickstarter army will soon be moving into production. And so it should only be maybe 2 to 3 months before we actually see the models for that. So really looking forward to that. So I think that's about us dried up for the evening. I'll look for some more interesting things to talk about, and there will be another podcast out on Friday. Might even do it at the club when I go up on Friday. And so we'll talk to all of you fine people in. So for now, mahalo. You can contact the show all the usual ways, and look forward to talking to you again, and look forward to hearing from some of you back. Take care. Mahalo for now.